So yes, Jesus washed Judas's feet, and Christian, you are called to as well. He tells us right there in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you." And in Matthew 5, verse 44, it says to love our enemies. It says specifically, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." But, Christian, don't forget verse 8 of John 13, where Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Don't forget the gospel as you're out being his hands and feet. Truth Rising was made possible thanks to the Kimberly Tower Foundation. The KTF is a united force devoted to uplifting and empowering women and children. Through their efforts, they kindle a sense of belonging, spur personal growth, and create an enduring legacy of impact. To learn more, please see the show notes and look into the ktfforlove.org. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses, located in Pensacola, Florida. Costello's offers Wagyu, a deli, just all the things. Also, if you're a child, 7 days a week, you can walk into Costello's and get yourself a free sack lunch. That's right, I said free. I think we've hit 130,000 so far. So go in, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and you will be so glad you did. Ladies, it's time. It's time we get back to the basics. It's time we get back to God's design for our lives. It's time we drink from the living water. So meet us at the well. It's not too late. He's waiting. Hey, Truth Rising, it's Tiffany, and I am here today to talk about John 13. If some of you have been watching TV lately, in reference to the He Gets Us commercial of the foot washing. Yes, I am going to talk about this. I know there's about 100 takes on this right now. So I hope you'll bear with me. And I think this is relevant. This is impacting today, right here, right now. And I look at this as an opportunity. And I'm going to get to that in the end. That's kind of a spoiler alert. I think this is a great opportunity. So here we go. Let's just dive on in to all the fun things. Like a Hot Topics issue. I don't think I've ever done one of those. Anyways, okay. I'm cracking myself up. Moving on. So I watched this commercial and I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it or act like something I'm not. It honestly annoyed me when I watched it. I couldn't figure out why, because technically I'm looking at this message. And I'm like, that's a beautiful message. Why would it? Why is this bothering me? This shouldn't bother me. I don't know how else to explain it. That's as far as I could get in my brain capacity at that time. I don't know. I just felt something was missing, right, in the midst of it. And clearly it was a very one-sided perspective. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. However, I didn't like that it was bothering me and annoying me. So this also was a really good learning lesson for me specifically. And I think as I talk through this a little bit further, you're going to be able to meet me there. Did I immediately go get my Bible and open it up and first and foremost ask the Holy Spirit to walk me through this? No, I did not. Wow. That speaks volumes. And that was very convicting to me because it took me a few days. Instead, I went and listened to all these other people. And then I was getting ready to do a Bible study. We were going through the book of Acts, but just Acts 4 wasn't really grabbing my attention in that moment. And it kind of just slammed on me like, why don't you talk about what everyone's talking about and what's my opinion on it? I thought, that's fantastic. So then in that moment, I finally sat and opened my Bible and read John 13 verses. Well, I read the whole thing, but verses 1 through 17 is where we're going to focus today. Hindsight 2020, looking back, and I hope moving forward, this is what I do. If something doesn't seem right or I'm unsure or maybe I'm a little too confident, but someone else is pushing back on it, I don't know why we like hesitate. I need to be opening the Word of God. Why wasn't that my like knee-jerk reaction? You know what I'm saying? What should have happened is we should have seen that commercial. We should have muted the TV and we should have opened up the Word of God immediately as a family and with our friends here and said, hey, wait, what does this say? What is the story? What is this parable? What are we learning from this? And so here we go. Let's do exactly that right now. John 13, we're going to start at verse 1. Now, if you're new to this and you're like, okay, I don't really, that's a good idea, but I don't really know how to look up scripture, you're in the right place. So the book of John is going to be found in the New Testament. You can go to the very front of your Bible. It's split into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. It'll tell you when to turn. Chapter 13 is going to be that big number, and we're going to start at verse 1, which is going to be that little number, okay? It says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. You will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. One who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. All right, so we have read the scriptures now, and I really hope you, honestly, you open yours up. Hit pause if you haven't. Read it for yourself. Don't have me maybe read it to you. Go and check what I am saying in the Word of God. Please do that always. If someone opens the Word of God and says, I'm reading from the Word of God, make sure they're reading from the Word of God. All right. Okay, so moving on. I want to talk about some of the big takeaways from the scripture, but first let's give you a little context. Now, if you go and you look in scripture all the way back into Genesis, washing of the feet was like a custom. It was a respectful thing. You have to remember they were sitting on the floor to eat and they would wear sandals and it was very dirty and dusty. And so this was very normal in their day and age to wash feet. Now, if you were to come up to me today and say, Tiff, I want to wash your feet, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to need you to not do that. That would be weird to us today. That's not the usual anymore. It's not a custom and for us in our day and age. And most of the time, it was the servants washing the feet or the wives of the whoever the household was. That's who would wash the feet. Now, knowing who usually did the foot washing, to read here how Jesus, God, who left heaven for us, gets in this posture, right? You have to kneel down before someone else and wash their feet, the dirty part on them. God did this. Is that not the coolest thing? He came to serve, not be served. That's how much he loves us, is that he was willing to humble himself before us and wash our feet. That's just crazy cool. Now, if you look as the foot washing progressed, it gets to Peter. And Peter at first is like, no, I'm not worthy of this. And God even lets him know, I must wash you or you can have no part with me. And so then Peter's like, okay, wash all of me head to toe. And God says, no. You're already clean. If you go to verse 10, one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. So what is this representing here? If you can see kind of in the from verse 8 into 10, it's an object lesson where they're using the foot washing as a way to present the gospel message. Not there. Jesus is using the foot washing as a way to present the gospel message. The gospel hasn't been completed yet, right? It hasn't been It hasn't been finished yet. Jesus hasn't died on the cross. He's about to be taken away. But here he's letting him know. That's why, like, back up in verse 7, it says, what I'm doing, you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand. So he's presenting the gospel message in a way for them to understand. And he's using foot washing as a way to say that. Okay, so verse 10 then is what we would look at now as sanctification. It's being presented here because Jesus said, one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. He's telling Peter, you've been washed completely clean. You've been saved. So we know here, Peter is a follower of Jesus. He is a what we would call Christian today. But Jesus is letting him know there's going to be times that I'm going to need to wash your feet because we're still sinners. We are imperfect people and we're going to have to continue to go before the Lord and get our feet washed, right? And so that's what Jesus is telling him here. And that's just part of the sanctification. That just means becoming more like Christ and less like ourselves. I just think that's such a beautiful way that he presented it here. And now if we move into verse 10, we're in verse 10. But if we continue into verse 10, now to the end, it says, you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. And here he's referencing Judas. Okay, so here we are seeing Jesus pointing out the elephant in the room. Because he knows that Judas is going to be one of those who helps get him on the cross. Judas will betray him shortly. So let's walk this out. Jesus leaves heaven. God leaves heaven for us. Is born a baby in a manger. Lives the life we couldn't live. And knows he's going to die the death we all deserve. And yet, those who put him on the cross, he is showing here, he still came for them too. Because he washes Judas's feet. He humbles himself in love even before Judas and washes his feet. Does he deny the truth of who Judas is? No, he lets him know straight up, not all of you are clean. I think this is a powerful message in itself, that no matter how dirty you are or no matter how far away from God you are, Christ still came for you and he still died for you and he still loves you and desires desperately to have a relationship with you if you choose to let him wash you clean. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. So in this foot washing that we're seeing here, the gospel is delivered. Did they fully understand it? No. They're looking, you know, thinking Jesus is going to be the king that redeems everything in that time. And they're going to go in and think about all of these things. They've been greeted. Hosanna. Like all of this has occurred. And now, like, how could they even begin to understand what is about to come? So the gospel message he's presented to them here by showing them through his own action, through his own example, what this is going to look like. And then on top of that, as you move into verses 12 through 17, Jesus also gives us that example as the body of Christ in this scripture. It says, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So he's telling us here, Christian, we should be as the body of Christ coming alongside and washing each other's feet. Now, is that literally or figuratively? I'm going to go with probably both. Like, again, like I told you, if you were to wash my feet, I'd probably be so uncomfortable just because it's not a normal custom to do that. I would probably lose the message and the intent behind it. Because it would just be awkward for me. However, there are other ways we as the body of Christ can put this into play. And I think here what I love the most about John 13 is that Jesus set the example for us himself. And he tells us, Jesus, this is red letters right here, y'all. He says, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. And so whatever that may look like for you, it doesn't have to necessarily be feet washing, but we should, in love and humility, be coming alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as the example Christ set for us here. All right, now what are some saying? Many would say this is for those that are not saved. So if you are someone who's saved and you're watching that, it's not going to hit with you. You're not going to be able to relate to this or sit in this, most likely. I can kind of get behind that. I agree to an extent. Anyways, we're going to dive further into that. But anyways, basically, they're just saying this commercial wasn't for you, church. This is for those that are not believers. Many are also saying, hey, they only had a minute. So, you know, that's all they had. They did the best they could, and they got the imagery across, okay? They say, hey, Jesus' name was spoken in a beautiful way. He wasn't painted to be anything else, okay? But was it? What Jesus was presented in this commercial? And this is going to be ultimately what my take is from the commercial itself. You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. But this is what I took from it, and this is why I now know it annoyed me when I saw this. Because in this commercial, while Jesus's name was written in there, sure, and they're absolutely right, Jesus did not teach hate, the gospel message was nowhere to be found. If anything, this message was yet another message that was going to self-serve, meaning the glory is going to those individuals in the image itself. Because if we leave Jesus out, how is he to get any glory? Yes, I can go before you in kindness and humility and love, but if I forget to tell you who sent me and why I am showing you those things, how is he to receive any glory for that? And how are we to direct anyone to Jesus in the midst of leaving him out of it? It's like giving someone part of the prescription for the healing that they need. That's not going to do them any good. If I don't tell you the full truth and deliver the full gospel, then I'm just giving you a watered down, weird Jesus that has, you know, no power in it. Sure, that might be a momentary thing that helps someone and meets them there. And I'm not saying this message in this commercial was completely lost. I'm sure it saved someone. Absolutely. But in the big picture, in my opinion, we left the gospel out. We left the real Jesus out. And this is just an image to make a point. Here, if we look at scripture, first of all, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. Yes, he washed Judas's feet, the man who helped put him on the cross. But he says here the truth of what is occurring in the midst of washing his enemy's feet. He tells him, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. They all heard the truth. So while he still did the act of washing Judas's feet, because God is love and he's a good God and he came for all, he didn't take away the fact that, hey, but if I don't wash you completely clean, this means nothing because you will be set apart from me. Hell's a real place. It does exist. Why, if God here doesn't force himself upon you and provides us with free will to choose him, would he force you to spend eternity with him in heaven? It doesn't make any sense. God's not going to force you to be with him if you deny him here. So here he's letting us know, sure, you can have all the good parts of Christianity and you can benefit from those, absolutely. But if we have an eternal perspective and we don't have individually each of us to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he doesn't wash us completely clean, then we will have no part with him and we will be set apart. That's terrifying. And then when people want to try to paint Jesus as some cruel God and all that, just point them to this scripture. Be like, really? Would you wash the feet of someone who's going to crucify you? Probably the most gruesome death you could ever die. Would you be able to do that? No. All right. So, well, I believe that was the biggest part of this. I think it also kind of opened up or pulled back the curtain a little bit to the big church. And like, we are the church. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the church. But big church, like our church homes and stuff where you would say you go on Sundays and stuff like that. Honestly, I think this told a lot because it's really having no impact in the world in a negative way, but in the church, woo, This is causing even further division because y'all, we have forgot how to have dialogue because our churches, for the most part, there are absolutely some. We're not discipling any longer. So when something like this happens, we don't know how to come together, open the word of God and walk this out and have a dialogue. Okay, well, why do you think it was good? Why do you think it was bad? Why are you not sure? Great. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Give us that wisdom and guidance. Holy Spirit, walk this out. Are we preparing the church any longer to not just sit and listen to what someone tells them on Sunday, but instead, like, how do you actually do this? How does it actually look to be a Jesus follower? We're missing those parts because everything is very planned and safe spaces, which is there's nothing wrong with these things. I love going to church on Sundays. I love going on Wednesdays. I love having a place to go. And like, I don't have to have my guard up. I can just go. But at the same time, how much dialogue and discipleship is occurring where we're seeing something like this happen in the world and looking at it as an awesome opportunity for learning and growth. Instead, we're just yelling at each other. Like, oh, if you think that, then you're progressive. And if you think this, then you're stuck up and phobic of something. I don't know. I don't know the words because I'm not my go-to response, but you get what I'm saying on both sides of the spectrum. And so I think it's just very interesting how this is kind of a tell for the big church. Instead of seeing what the enemy intends for evil or what the enemy intends for bad, how God can pull these and make it something really good. And that's what he did in my own life. I learned first and foremost, I need to have a knee-jerk reaction to go to my Lord and Savior and ask for his wisdom and guidance before I start listening to the world. Get out of here, Tiffany. What are we doing? So that was really, really good for me. I also loved how I did discern something wasn't necessarily right in this commercial. I love that I know that I am hearing God's voice and feeling his promptings. That's just the best. Like, that gives me such comfort. Like, okay, you really didn't just say, okay, good luck. I'm going to go over here. I'm busy with someone else. No. And he loves me so much. He loves me so much that he doesn't just leave me where he found me, right? He loves us enough to just grow us and draw him closer to him, where we look more like him and less like ourselves. I was able to go to my Bible study with other women and discuss this. He gave us that opportunity. And not everyone had the same take with this commercial. And it was awesome. There was actual dialogue and different perspectives and why. Most of what I'm presenting to you today is because of what they said. I think that's just the best. How cool is that? And last but not least, I think this is just a really good wake-up call, church. Do you actually know what the gospel message is? And do you know how to articulate that as to why you believe what you believe? If you can't explain it, that's a problem. And no, I'm not saying this is going to be cookie cutter for you each time. You need to know how to speak the language of who you're speaking to. But ultimately, you need to know the reason for the hope that is in you. It's the only thing we're called to as Christians. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to, whatever the case may be, but you should know the gospel message. Parents, are you telling that to your kids? Are you teaching them what the gospel is? Or are we too busy talking about everything else and we'll like sit here and make sure our children know how to speak Mandarin or that they're the best at their sport and do all these things? But in the eternal viewpoint that we should be having, do our kids even know what the gospel is? So I hope that in the midst of this commercial that you stop and instead of letting it make you angry or just get your feathers all feathered. That's not the way to say that. I don't know how to say that. But instead, just let's look at this as an opportunity for dialogue, for conversation, for discipleship. Let's make sure we know what we believe and why we believe it. And if there's something you don't know, that's okay. Look to God's word. There's lots of teachers out there, your pastor, just all sorts of awesome things. So to summarize, yes, Jesus washed Judas's feet. But don't forget verse 8. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. All right, y'all. God bless. Until next time. Bye.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.